Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A Scottish football podcast that isn't obsessed with just two teams, niche nonsense, or surprisingly brilliant. You decide. The Terrace Scottish Football Podcast. The cult Scottish football podcast now adapted into a hit TV show. Search the Terrace Scottish Football Podcast on your chosen podcast player now.
To this week's edition of the Spurs Show. What a topsy-turvy week it's been. An abject draw on the South Coast and then a wonderful result beating the scum 2-1. Joining me tonight to look back at those games and look ahead to the games against Newcastle tomorrow night and Leicester City at the weekend. Regular on the show. The last show, I think he was too drunk to appear. Paul Kramer returns. How are you, Paul?
I'm as sober as a judge.
Are you jolly good? Which judge is that? The one that got done for drink driving recently or a different one?
Well, the last time I was up in court, the judge said, "Have you been up before me before?" And I said,
"Is this going anywhere? Is this going anywhere, this joke? This is a real anecdote or a joke? We'll never know. Let's move on." Also joining us tonight, the producer, been on the show many times, Mark Pegg returns. How are you, Mark?
I'm pretty good, mate. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for coming back on the show and making her debut this evening, which is extraordinary because her father, Dave, has been on many, many times. And this next guest has been in this, when I say studio, my old office in Marylebone. Rosa Rodovich. How are you, Rosa?
Hello, I'm good, thanks.
Good. Thank you so much for coming on. Before we talk about the game, we always ask people on their debuts. Can you remember your first game, the first time you ever saw Spurs?
I absolutely can. It was my first game, but it was also my first game as a season ticket holder. My dad went hard early, I guess. It was a 3-3 draw against Leeds. It was the game before George Graham took over and Sol Campbell scored an equaliser in the 93rd minute, I think.
I remember it. Ramon Vega scored as well, I remember.
Yeah, we went 3-1 down and we came back in the last minute. So I think that got the bug going.
That was a mad game because everyone kind of, the rumours had gone around the press that Graham was leaving Leeds to come to us. Spurs fans weren't happy and that he was beaties. That was quite a game. What a first game to go to.
And in retrospect.
Sort of hatred in the air.
Kind of perfect, really.
Yeah, what a game to go to. Well, let's look back at the two games last week. We'll talk about Bournemouth a little bit later. We'll probably gloss over that because it was awful. But let's talk firstly about the wonderful victory, a real typical Jose Mourinho tactical masterclass against the Arse at the weekend. Mark, I mean, were you surprised by the sort of Mourinho tactical masterclass at the weekend? Because he got everything right, didn't he?
Yeah. I think, the one thought that I had, when we came back into it, I kind of thought to myself, okay, if I will put up with this style of play, if I can be certain that actually, going a goal up means that we're going to stay a goal up, if you see what I mean. At the moment, I'm still a little bit nervous about that when we go a goal up and we play pragmatically, we're still not as tight as we could have been.
No, absolutely. I mean, Rosa, I mean, to go a goal behind like that, another Aurier mistake. But whatever you think about Mourinho, his style of play, he does manage to do it in these big must-win games, doesn't he?
I think, firstly, it was a cracking goal. And Aurier can be blamed to the extent that you want to blame him, I think. I mean, it was a heavy first touch. He was quite unlucky not to get it on the follow-through. But, sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Thank you. It was quite unlucky to not get it on the follow through, and it was an amazing goal. I'm sort of with Paul because I was very, very positive and relieved that we beat Arsenal, but I don't know how that carries forward, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Paul, what did you, I mean, you're always Mr. Optimistic. You sound like Darth Vader at the moment, extraordinarily breathing down your mic. Go back a little bit. Extraordinary noise. Paul, were you surprised by the performance?
I was totally gobsmacked. And on a scale of one to Wowzers trousers, that was a totally Wowzers trousers performance and result. And I was not expecting it at all.
Why weren't you expecting it? You don't think Jose can do it in these big games?
Well, we hadn't beaten Man United. We hadn't beaten Chelsea. We hadn't beaten Liverpool. Man City, we did beat 2-0, but we didn't deserve to win that game. But on Sunday, having seen the crap that was put on show on Thursday, and then the crap the previous game before that at home to Everton, when we won through an own goal, we'd only had 5 shots on target in the previous 3 games. So I know we only had 37% possession on Sunday, but we made it count, and we, everyone turned up pretty much.
Yeah, not everyone, no, I mean you're nearly. Right. I mean, Mark, that was the thing. A lot of fans went into this game for those various reasons Paul said, and Arsenal were a bit of form. Arsenal were playing well after a bad start to the sort of resumption of the season. To go a goal down like that, but you kind of. All the old problems that Arsenal got the back came back. But again, it was lovely to see Jose play 2 up top because my problem with his tactics of late was that Son just hasn't got into the game. And especially in the second half when the game was a bit stretched. They both looked dangerous going forward, didn't they?
No, they did. And but again, it's kind of just getting that thing to settle down. I just want to... I mean, obviously, it's incredibly difficult at the moment to refer football now to how football was, before Christmas, let alone in the Pochettino era. But it's just, I want some kind of pattern, if you like, that I can associate with, so that I'm watching a game and I kind of know what we're going to do, how we're going to play, how we're going to set up, what's going to happen, who's not doing what they're meant to be doing. At the moment, I watch it and I'm at a bit of a loss, really, as to how we're approaching things. I was pleasantly surprised, obviously, with the Arsenal game. But if we can build on this, then I'm sure that's what everybody wants. But it's just getting a kind of, if it's that Mourinho style of getting 1-0 up and then flooding the midfield or whatever, then as Rosa said, I'm happy with that as long as that guarantees us the win.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, Rosa, what was nice about the performance, obviously getting a late goal against them is always a beautiful thing. But, whatever you think about Jose's, the way he plays, I mean, would you, as Mark sort of alluded there, would you kind of take these kind of strange performances, would you take these sort of hard battle 2-1 and sort of forego the silky Pochettino football?
I guess it depends on what we're winning at the end of it. I always sort of come back to the, I think it was the 16-17 season, where we were just brilliant throughout the season, and so many standout memories, so many games which I just loved, and it was such a joy. And at the end of that season, Arsenal won the FA Cup, but they'd have the most miserable season. Their fans were furious. And I just really thought at the end of that season, do you know what, I'd much rather be us. And that's sort of how I still feel about it.
Yeah,
that could happen again this season.
Yeah, it could.
Possibly.
But I wouldn't rather be us. That's the difference.
Absolutely. Look, I mean, it was such an important win, and it kind of puts us in the position now, what with Manchester City being reinstated to the Champions League and assuming that Arsenal don't win the FA Cup by getting past Manchester City and then Man United or Chelsea, seventh place should get a Europa League place. And I worked it out. I think we'll probably need 7 points for the next three games. Because the teams around us, a few of them play each other. And me being Mr. Sad working out, I reckon we'll get seventh, level on points with Sheffield United. But I think we might get a better goal difference than them. Paul, do you think that victory now will be the thing for them to really... I mean, because Europa League football can bring in around £30 million, which in the current Corona crisis is a lot of money for a club that's not bringing any kind of money in.
Well, I've already booked my ticket for Gdansk next May. So if you want to know what flight number, I can tell you later. So I'll see you in Gdansk for the final.
That's so funny. That is hilarious. My God. And
why
you know
are you
what?
Laughing?
Knowing you, I bet you have. That's the thing. I generally know you probably have, which is quite extraordinary. Rosa, I mean, looking at sort of certain performances, who kind of stood out for you on the game on Sunday?
I thought Sissoko was very good.
Yeah.
I thought he did a huge amount of work, as he always does. I almost always love a Kane performance, and I thought he was brilliant as well, and he sacrifices a huge amount to add to the team game. I thought Moura was better than he has been probably thus far this season. I did think it was very positive. My reservation, and I don't wish to be a downer on a derby win, I really don't. I love them as much as everyone else. I just don't know whether, and I know we're meant to speculate on podcasts, and I know we're meant to speculating is fun and people enjoy it, but I just don't know how much it changes. I guess we haven't seen any sort of consistency this season for me to feel confident after reading too much into it, but I really hope we can.
And obviously, we've got this big game against Newcastle tomorrow. Mm. Do you think the appetite is there now for the players to go in and get this Europa League place? Do you think it could be done?
I don't think the players really care, actually, because half of them know they won't be there next season. So what's their motivation? I don't think we're going to do that well tomorrow night. I think Sunday's result will just paper over the cracks. Until the two games this week. I'm not sure where you think we're going to get 7 points from. I can't see it at all.
I think we'll win tomorrow, although Jose's never won at St James's Park. I think we'll beat Leicester, who are an absolute free fall, and I think we'll get a draw in our last game. That's my feeling. Mark, how do you think the next few games might pan out?
I'm sorry to be a pessimist, Mike, but I'm more in line with what Paul said, to be honest. It's really difficult. It's this, you know, these empty stadiums, this weirdness. How do they get themselves motivated? Where is that kind of wonderful team spirit that we did have, you know, at the end of, well, maybe not at the end of last year, but, you know, the beginning of last year. Doesn't seem like there's a team there now. And listen, I hope I'm wrong, and we can do it, and we can get into Europe, and we can start building something. And listen, I mean, Mourinho is meant to be the master man manager, isn't he? You know, so that he, you know, he brings these boys through and gets them dreaming about something. But at the moment, I'm a bit more pessimistic than you are, I think.
Rosa, I mean, you know, the problem is, Rosa, I think most Spurs fans realise this. Mourinho's come into a stale squad. There was players there who wanted to move on. Contracts running down. He's clearly seen the errors, as we know, defensively. We were bad even the season before under Pochettino. There was a lot of work to be done there. And again, no real money to go out and splash out on players. Whatever you think about the football that Tottenham are currently playing under Mourinho, you look at the points he's won in the Premier League, more points than Arsenal, more points than Chelsea. We are still with a chance of the Europa League place. The Sheffield United result put away any chance of Champions League. Do you think he's doing as well as he can with the situation he's currently been given at the club?
I almost think it's impossible to say, to be honest. I went back and looked at our results pre-Mourinho this season, and I'd sort of pictured it in my head as being much worse than they actually were. We had that awful defeat to Brighton, and we had that terrible sort of one-off game against Bayern Munich, which when I'd forgotten that actually three of their goals were scored after 80 minutes. It was just a very, very strange evening.
Yeah, we'd given up by then.
I know, it was just weird. The whole thing was strange. It felt strange. And I'd never seen our team, to be honest, look so clueless. I have since, but I hadn't up to that point.
There was also Colchester away in the Carling Cup.
That was one of those strange nights that goes for penalties. And you sort of think, once it gets to penalties, almost anything can happen. I haven't really forgiven the team for the Wolves performance before coronavirus lockdown. And that hangs very heavy. And the whole thing just feels incredibly intensely sort of Sherwood era. That being said, and my earlier point aside about not engaging in speculation, I actually do think we'll beat Newcastle. I think we'll lose or draw to Leicester. And I think we'll beat Palace, who have lost every single game since we came back. Yeah. But I don't, impossible to say whether Mourinho is doing the best he can. How could we possibly know?
I mean, the thing is, Paul, that I take that on board. Meanwhile, you have all the media pundits going, Mikel Arteta, what a great thing he's doing at Arsenal. He's gone in there. He's seen the problems. Well, you know, I think we've got as big a problem as Arsenal had with our stealth squad, as I mentioned. But, you know, we're still above them. We've still got a great chance of Europe. And you've surely... Mourinho's a proven winner. You've got to give him next season and give him the tools to try and mould a team that can start winning things.
I would give him one more season at most, because the football up until the weekend has been abysmal. I know since lockdown ended and we've gone back into the stadium and we've started running out from the opposite side of the pitch, from the east stand rather than the west stand, we've gone four games unbeaten. So we've got 10 points out of 12. So that's good. But I can't stand the football. And I don't see why anyone would put themselves through a whole season of that next season, really.
Well, we might not have to. I mean, this is the thing. We don't know if we can all go back next season, or they're talking about now only maybe a third or quarter.
Yeah, I'm hearing there'll be reduced admission of 20,000. And that'll be season ticket holders, and it'll be spaced out, etc. Social distancing, la-di-da. I don't know. I can't stand Mourinho anyway. I didn't want him in my club. I think he's a disgraceful person, a disgraceful human being. He's just toxic. And, you know, I haven't got over Pochettino yet.
Okay, fair enough. Well, look, obviously we talked about the much improved performance against Arsenal, but we can't skirt over one of the worst performances I've seen by a Spurs side in many, many years against Bournemouth. And we're going to talk about it after this very short break.
If you want an e-bike that doesn't look like it's made for the shopping precinct, something that's less Mr. Bean and more Steve McQueen, check out the range of bikes from London-based Cooler King. From dope 250-watt city bikes to Harley Bobber-inspired 750-watt beasts that can tear your face off while leaving your smile intact. Cooler Kings are made in limited numbers, yet highly affordable. Check them out now on the web at cooler.bike or find them on Instagram with hashtag CoolerKingBike. Cooler.bike. E-bikes that are cool AF.
And we're back for the break. Just to remind you at home, you can, and now the fact that government has made it compulsory to wear one of these in the shop. Don't forget to get the wonderful Spurs Show face masks. They're a thing of beauty. Go to shop.spursshow.net. Have a look at them. They are great. There's not many left, let me tell you. And we've mentioned the charity that we'll be getting proceeds off. Well, that charity is the Haringey Circle. And the guy, bizarrely, who runs the Haringey Circle is Mr. Paul Kramer. Paul, tell people very briefly about what the Haringey Circle does for local people in that borough.
Okay, so Haringey Circle has been set up for the over 50s who are sheltered and vulnerable. And it's been set up to help reduce social isolation and loneliness in the over 50s. So we are, for the last 3 months, we were supposed to be setting up events and activities. But of course, instead of encouraging those people to go out, I've been encouraging those people to. So it's been a total turnaround. Mm-hmm. I've been, for the last 3 months, with a team of 50 volunteers, I've been running the drugs courier prescription service. It's been like long episode of Ozark.
Is that really prescribed drugs or illegal drugs in Tottenham?
It's actually, for a change, it's the prescribed ones. But I know where you can get the illegal ones too. So you just DM me afterwards and I'll give you some pointers. But basically, if you hang around certain parts of N17 and N15... you could get lucky.
Lordship Lane, so I've been told.
No comment. But J. Lord's is the pharmacy that we used in Lordship Lane for the proper prescribed drugs. We're basically into 57 pharmacies every day, picking up people's prescriptions for them who can't get out because they're too elderly, too ill, too sheltered, who have no one to help them. And we've been dealing with those 6,000 sheltered people. And we will carry this on going onwards and upwards into the future. Hopefully, we will soon be able to have some events and activities too. But we're doing work with Tottenham Foundation and we're doing walking football. I'm working with Renee Hector, who was in the Spurs ladies
yes,
team.
That's right.
She now runs the walking football side of things. So that's great. And there's some really exciting things ahead of us. We're also a dating agency. We've just fixed up someone in N17 with someone from just outside of the borough. But that's another story.
Okay. So the good thing is, hopefully people buy the face mask. There'll be money going to this charity and helping to the work they do. That's the main thing. Thanks for that.
All donations gratefully received. Thank you very much.
An absolute pleasure.
On behalf of the residents of Haringey.
A pleasure to help out. Mark, let's go back to last Thursday. Mark, the game against Bournemouth was without doubt. I mean, saying that, Bournemouth then went on to beat Leicester 4-1 after being a goal up. But against Bournemouth, we didn't have a shot on target, off target. It was awful. They had a goal disallowed. Hugo Lloris pulled off a wonderful save near the end. It was just awful. And I think we talked about the top of the show, some of us surmising that maybe some of the players aren't playing for Mourinho, want to move on. If we ever had that kind of conspiracy theory, Bournemouth was the game to point at, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and this is exactly the reason why my delight at beating Arsenal was slightly tempered. because, you know, it's not the Arsenal games that you've got to get up for. It's not the Man City games that you've got to get up for. It's the Bournemouth away, the Newcastle away that you've got to get up for. And until they start doing that, then I am always going to be slightly pessimistic this season, you know, in a way that I've not been for 5 or 6 years, you know, so...
Now, Rosa, do you think the very fact that we can't travel to these games, you know, Sheffield United away, Bournemouth away, do you think if the fans were at these games, do you think they would have turned on Mourinho or the players, or do you think they would have sort of just accepted the season as a write-off? Because, I mean, that performance against Bournemouth, the performance against Sheffield United, the performance against Everton, I mean, they're just not good enough for Tottenham Hotspur, are they?
I almost think it doesn't matter whether the fans turned a bit on the team or not. I think the football's entirely different when fans are in the ground. Football at the moment, it's almost like, I almost find it almost like conceptual. I know it's going on, but it's so easy to ignore it. It doesn't feel real. And that's, you're seeing that reflected in some of the scorelines. It really is a shadow of its former self. And that is my excuse for why I did not watch the Bournemouth game.
Yeah, well, you missed nothing. It was dreadful. Let's skirt over that now, because just thinking about it is making me thoroughly depressed again. Tomorrow night, we go to St James's Park. Incredible stat that Jose Mourinho with Chelsea or Man United has never won there. Newcastle, a team also since the restart, have been pretty poor. They've got players out tomorrow. We've obviously got Dele probably out. Serge Aurier, I assume, will be out for capacity. Passionate reasons, with the awful news yesterday that his brother was murdered. Japhet Tanganga, although he had a stress fracture of the back, he could probably deputise for Aurier. If you want Europa League, you know, a Newcastle are safe. They've got nothing to play for. Paul, it's got to be a ground that we just go on and do the business, surely.
No, I don't think we're going to win tomorrow. I'm predicting a high-scoring draw. So that'll be 1 point. Then a win at home to Leicester on Sunday. So that's 4 points. And then it's all to play for on the following Sunday against Palace. But why would we go to Newcastle and win? I mean, remember that season when we went there and lost 5-1? That wasn't that long ago. You know, when we were expected... Awful. They were relegated. We were expected to go there and you know, to finish above Arsenal. And we managed to mess it up and lose 5-1. And they were down to 10 men, I think.
Sissoko was very good, though.
Yeah. No.
Well, let's see. I mean, I don't think we'll be seeing Aurier again play for Spurs. I think he's gone now. So that's...
There's rumours he wants to leave anyway. I know last summer he was open to move, but no bid that we wanted came in. I mean, in saying that, I mean, one could argue that he's been one of our most improved players. And with the Mourinho tactics, he is our attacking outlet week in, week out, which is utterly bizarre.
His crossing is just ridiculously bad. We should never have sold Trippier, obviously. I just think there's going to be a big player going in the summer. And I would suggest it might be Hong Min Sun for about £75 million to financial fair play Man City.
Well,
do you want to discuss?
Not really. Mark, obviously got Newcastle and then Leicester at the weekend. Leicester, if you remember games that changed the season, if you remember the away game against Leicester season, I think we took the lead. That had a perfectly good goal disallowed. And then they scored two quick goals and we lost the game. And actually, we played well against Leicester and we were unlucky not to win. But, I mean, they've been awful, haven't they, of late?
They've not done well since the restart, have they, what we're calling the restart. I mean, that is curious, though, isn't it? Because that you know, everything that we've said about playing for something, about playing a team, about dreaming about something and that being the motivation, Leicester have still got. You know,
yes.
And
it's
a very big game. Now, whether that puts any fire in our belly, I don't know. I think, you know, Rosa said, you know, it's got that Tim Sherwood feeling about it, hasn't it? You know, I listen, it's sorry to depress everybody. I'm normally very optimistic, but I just can't see what they are going to get up for. You know, the in the old days of the project, you know, there doesn't seem to be a project at the moment. It doesn't seem to be something that doesn't seem to be a base to start from. There may be during the close season that, you know, there'll be a line drawn under this, and then the close season, next season, we'll start a new project. And I hope so.
This is my point, Rosa. This is not Mourinho's team. You know, Europa League, he said, look, I'd rather be the Champions League. Don't forget, he won the Europa League for Manchester United. This is not his side. Leicester, I think, tactically is perfect for Mourinho because Leicester is a must-win for Leicester to try and stay in the Champions League positions, which means they'll be coming at us, which means we can do them on the counter-attack. I think it's a perfect game for Mourinho's tactics, whether you like them or not.
Yeah, potentially. And I've always been fully aware that I've never given him anything even remotely like a fair shot. I came into it with my prejudice, really, really upset about Pochettino, who is the best out of the at least the late 11 managers I've seen at Spurs. Absolutely adored him. He was my perfect manager. And for him to be sacked and then within 12 hours for Mourinho to come in, it felt like a really, really bad, horrible nightmare. And that's pretty much how the rest of the season has felt, to be honest. But I appreciate that it's not his team, and that we are going to give him next season, because you don't pay someone £15 million to sack him before he gets a full season and gets a chance to recruit. How much recruitment he can actually do, given the financial situation, I don't know. Levy's been very honest about how COVID is going to hit teams. So I don't know. But I hate Leicester, and I hope we smash them.
I hope you're right. Also, the other thing, because we're reaching the end of the season, just a few bits and pieces. Spurs Show season ticket holders, you can now get one or renew to get your season ticket to go to all our monthly events, which we're beginning to open up at the end of this month. Go to season.spurshow.net. Current season ticket holders will be joining us on July 29th for our end of season review with special guest ex-FA Cup winner Steve Sedgley. If you want our daily shows and match reports and interviews with other ex-players, go to patreon.com/Spurs Show. Join us there. The other thing we're going to open up, Paul, bizarrely, is the Spurs Show Player of the Season Awards. last year, Moussa Sissoko won it. This season, without doubt, we've been doing this show since 2007. It's the first season. I can't think of anybody that I want to be putting forward for this award. It's going to be a really, really tough one. Early runners and riders for you, Paul. Anyone that stands out through the season?
Yeah, the ball boy.
Yeah.
Callum, who threw the ball back really quickly in that game. That's the only highlight I've seen this season, the new White Hart Lane. I am not nominating any player for player of the season. No one deserves it. Least of all, Eric Lamella.
I love Eric Lamella.
Really? Me a favour. Yeah. Let me go. He's over the hill. It's time he went. He's not as good as he thinks he is.
Why do you say that?
I mean, you know, come on. The master or mistress of the dark arts. Let him go.
Mark, would you... Who would you vote for your player of the season? It's a tough one, isn't it?
It is a tough one. I'd probably go with Sonny still. I mean, listen, I've said it loads and loads and loads of times on this show that the real problem with us was when Eriksen went missing, and he was such a big part of that Pochettino team, and if we could get Lo Celso into that. He's shown flashes of it.
No assists and no goals. Well, one goal.
No, that's what my point exactly. I keep on saying, please be the one to save us, you know. But I'd go for Sonny. You know, I did think Stephen Bergwijn was going to be good before lockdown came, but he doesn't get played very much now. So, yeah, Sonny gets my vote.
Yeah, what about you, Rose? It's a tough one, isn't it, this season?
It is a bit more tricky than usual, I will admit. But I think the best moment for me of the season so far has been Sonny's goal against Burnley. And that was so great. Yeah. And so great to be there for it. It felt really special. Otherwise, I'd go Lo Celso.
Oh, really?
I'm going to have to vote Lamella, to be honest. So.
Sun was goal of the season.
I think although Sun missed a bit of the season, I would probably go with him just for the Burnley goal alone. Going back to Giovanni Lo Celso, I know Terry Gibson was on the show a few weeks ago singing his praises. At the moment, I had to agree with Robert Easton, who doesn't see enough there. And again, whether he's been played out of position, I haven't seen enough from Lo Celso every week to go, this is the midfielder that's going to be the linchpin in the middle next season. I really don't. I think there's question marks, clearly. I think Sanchez had a very particularly good game. Sanchez and Alavel played very well against Arsenal. But I think you look at the fullbacks, Lo Celso, Lamella, Moura, Bergwijn, Winks as well, and go, are these players good enough to be in a Spurs team that can hopefully win trophies? And I'm just not sure. I'm really not sure. So, I agree with a lot of people. Give Mourinho next season, let him hopefully bring in some of the players that he wants. And we know that's going to be difficult. And hopefully, I can't see how next season could be any worse. I really can't. And I hope that hasn't put the kiss of death on it. Mark, I've got to ask you, because it was an anniversary of Walter Tull recently, and I know many listeners out there have very kindly donated to the Walter Tull movie project, which obviously Spurs Show are very much part of, and you are a producer. I know with COVID-19, everything has sort of stopped in the entertainment business, but just to give people an update, where are we with that project, and what can people do to still get it to that next level?
I had a conversation with someone, and we spoke before all of this happened. We in blissful ignorance of what was coming around the corner. And I said to someone, no, it's going really well. Obviously, there'll be a few bumps in the road, but I hadn't realised that it would be quite such a bloody big bump in the road. We are doing well. It's something that we want to be in a position to go with very quickly as soon as we can. We haven't been pushing it as much during lockdown, because obviously asking people to donate their money it's a bit of an unknown time for a lot of people. But if you're feeling that you're coming out of it and you want to help, if you don't know the story, go to www.crowdfundtull.co.uk. Walter Tull was the first black outfield professional football player, and he played for Spurs before the First World War. And that was an achievement on its own. But not only that, he went on in the First World War to become the first black officer in the British Army, the first black officer to command white troops as well. And and sadly, he was killed in that conflict. But he was part of a football regiment, and the other footballers, who at that time were all white, obviously, they risked their lives just to go out and recover his body from no man's land, because they were so... they held him in such high regard. This man really was a hero, and obviously, what we want to do is bring that his story. The one that was done before was slightly more docudrama. This one we want to be a full feature film. The kind of Lawrence of Arabia type thing.
And so, also, I mean, the very fact with this, obviously, with the Black Lives Matter movement, if there was ever a time to put on the pedestal someone who means so much to the history of football, the history of black people in this country, so many themes and important messages to bring out. It's such a great time to hopefully get this thing really up and running.
No, absolutely. I mean, it couldn't be better. It's a marvellous story about a marvellous man who overcome enormous odds and did the right... did the right thing, but was, it seems to me, never gave in, never succumbed, always achieved. and obviously a dreadful end. But, you know, a true hero, someone, you know, the definition of the word, a hero that won through and achieved all these things that were practically impossible, and yet he still did it. So yeah, it's a terrific story. So if you can find out about it, and if you can help us, there's lots of rewards that you get.
Yes.
Ranging from a thank you online to actually being an executive producer on the film,
and also being in the film as an extra.
Absolutely,
as well. One of the things you can do. Yeah. So if anyone wants to help out, go to crowdfundtull.co.uk, and we'll put that link in the description to the podcast. Well, look, tonight, Paul, Mark, and Rosa, despite the Arsenal win, it's felt a little bit down because of the performances. So let me end with this. I'm going to end on a high. Right. If Norwich beat Chelsea tonight, if Burnley beat Wolves, if Sheffield United beat Leicester, if Crystal Palace beat Man United, if we beat Newcastle and Leicester, if Wolves draw with Crystal Palace, if Everton beat Sheffield United, if West Ham beat Manchester United, if Liverpool beat Chelsea, and if Leicester draw with Manchester United and Wolves beat Chelsea and we beat Palace, we finish third. Champions League, it's still on.
Come on, you Spurs.
Get on, mate. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. Theo Delaney will be here next week. Until next time, come on, you Spurs.
Wasn't that a great podcast? Now, if you've got 90 seconds spare in your day, come and listen to ours. It's called What Has He Said Now? And is available wherever you got this podcast.
You're going to lose a number of people to the flu.
This is a Playback Media production. Get all the associated links for this podcast at spurshow.net.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.